This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Right, it's coming up to 10 minutes after 11 o'clock here on Power Perspective. Thank you for staying with us. Thoroughly enjoyed that last discussion there. The most bizarre news, as you were hearing there, about what has transpired there in Irene, and you wonder where was all of the security. We just work on the information that we have currently, of course, and as soon as we can bring through some sort of a significant update, we will certainly do that. Remember, line's still open for you on 0861 987 000. That's where you can in fact reach us. We're talking now to Ntshavheni Netshituni, who is the president of Blind South Africa. We are, of course, talking now about the Gauteng High Court, in fact, having, of course, declared it's invalid for the violation of rights of blind people. That essentially being the basis of that, right? When we talk about an inclusive country, a country that recognizes the circumstances of all people and ensures that wherever it is that that all people are, that their needs are catered for, their needs are considered, and it isn't a case of people needing to struggle now because they're living with different types of disabilities, that people have in fact not been able to access certain things. So we're talking about the access to published works, right? And issues around accessibility, issues around how easy it is, how accessible various formats of published works are, and whether or not we are adequately supporting people who are living with particularly focusing on whether it's blind people or people who are visually impaired, right, in varying degrees of that as well. Thank you very much for joining us on Power Perspective, and Ntshavheni, welcome to Power Perspective.
Good night, colleagues. Good night, listeners.
It's important, as I was saying, Ntshavheni, that ideally the sort of society that we should be looking towards creating and ensuring we are moving in the right direction is one where every aspect of life for all people and all different disabilities is such that it isn't painful or difficult, or people's disabilities are disregarded or not acknowledged at all. And information and being able to access information is a critical part of that, isn't it?
It is indeed. It is indeed a critical part of that. And the painful part is that we're talking about the system that embedded itself as far back as 1978. One would accept and agree that at that stage, perhaps because of the system that was parliamentary sovereignty, constitution and constitutionally based rights were not of importance, even to the parliamentarians themselves. So passing a law which would naturally infringe upon the rights of persons with disabilities, in particular visually impaired people, may not have been seen as something that was so important to be caring for.
And of course, information is updated all the time, whether, you know, we're going to vote now, information around where to go, how to access all sorts of things, right? It's critical, and as you're saying that we find ourselves still being behind is incredibly unfortunate. Are you though seeing significant progress in the right direction?
I think with the outcome of the court case that we had on the 21st of September, which we successfully advocated for the rights of visually impaired people, we should be going to the right direction. What I love about the whole matter is that in terms of generally access to information, South Africa was never so difficult in terms of in moving forward with that. The only thing that became difficult is when we had to struggle to get the government to understand that it is simple to correct what was wrong in 1978 by correcting the act. At that stage, when we started this whole advocacy, it was in 2013, sorry, when we said, because we have the Marrakesh Treaty, which is acceded to by many countries, even African countries. To date, we're talking about more than 100 countries altogether. It is necessary, perhaps, that we sign the Marrakesh Treaty so that while we are bickering about the 1978 Copyright Act, we should have something that will be empowering us to access information. And that was very difficult for government to do. They wanted first to have the Copyright Amendment Bill passed into law before they signed the Marrakesh Treaty. But in general, as I'm saying, we are seeing something being done. But I think with the outcome of the case, we have much more stronger advocacy perspective when it comes to advocating for the rights of visually impaired people.
Mm. Often when matters must be taken to the courts, it gives the impression that people are, I suppose, who should be at the forefront of ensuring that these things are in place, who should be leading the charge and ensuring that our systems are truly inclusive, especially with critical information to help people make decisions about their lives and so on, that they are either resistant to doing that, or it's just viewed as a non-priority. And so now you have the courts that have to tell you what you should be doing.
Yeah, you know, the thing with the process is when it comes to legislating is that there are these very stringent, hamstrung processes within parliament. And as I always say to people, what we did as planners was to assist government in providing solutions. Because we said, because you can't have this Section 19D fixed within the parliamentary perspective, we are going to ask the court to read it into the current act so that we can have something done about it, because there was no one who was contesting that. So it was impossible to believe that we can still wait for another 6 years or so while the bickering is still continuing about other aspects of the Copyright Act. So we assisted government, actually, by taking the matter to court. Yes, I agree that it was as a result of them being rigid when it comes to generally accepting that they must sign the Marrakesh Treaty, which would have at least let us just to sit down to use what we have and to let the bickering continue. But because we didn't have any option but to come and say, we are going to provide this as a last solution to you, to say the court must intervene and provide guidance to us. And what we loved about that is that because of the invalidation of the Copyright Act, it now calls on to the Constitutional Court to come and further provide constitutional guidance when it comes to that. And we are happy because the Constitutional Court now has given us a hearing. They have even given us a case number, so we are good to go with the Constitutional Court as well to invalidate the Copyright Act of 1978.
When do you appear before the Concord?
We don't have a date yet. We suspect it could be next year because of the heavy load that the Constitutional Court is facing now.
Mm-hmm. So how much longer, Ntshavheni, until we actually start seeing some changes? Because once the court process is done, we now need to start seeing some implementation happening. It's still a long wait, a long journey ahead, eh?
Not at all. We asked the judge, the High Court, to grant us the permission to give an order to say if government fails to rectify whatever is wrong currently within the next 12 months, the reading in of Section 19D, which is going to give us exemption in terms of reading materials, would have to be made permanent into the 1978 Act. So it is only 12 months that we're talking about, and I hope at that stage, when we come to that, it will be around August next year. By then, the Constitutional Court would have given us a green light, I suppose.
Just finally, and Chabin, I suppose the importance of this is it's a form of transformation, I suppose, or truly contributing to changing the laws of the country, really, to reflect this the sort of society we hope that the post 94 project was meant to do, and that's really the significance of this.
It is the significance of that. And we are happy because we could identify these gaps and we raised them. The only unfortunate is when we raise these gaps, it is not up to government to protect the status quo. They must allow these gaps to be worked on and to close them, because otherwise if we live with them, we are perpetually encouraging infringement of societal rights, which are enshrined in the Constitution, unfortunately.
Absolutely, absolutely. A welcomed one, and one that we hope that organizations such as yourself, a key organization, of course, in this will keep us informed and keep us enlightened about developments of this nature.
Exactly. Sorry. It is our role to advocate for the rights of persons with vision impairment. It is our constitutional mandate from within the sector, and we are going to make sure that whatever it takes when it comes to the rights of visually impaired people, we are at the forefront.
Before I let you go, Chabeni, I know we have a question coming in here, particularly around vaccinations. Tabo's on the line from Pretoria. Tabo?
Hello, Sabizile, okay?
Good. Thanks, Tabo. Go ahead.
Okay, sharp. Sabizile, I would like to concur with the advocate then. On 2018, June, Kadi 8, we went to Union Building as visually impaired Sabio GP to register the grievances to our fellow president, Ramaphosa. One, we don't get medication which are brailed, of which you can drink a wrong medication. Two, now the robots are vaccinated. We don't get a braille certificate, and then whereas you need a barcode certificate, how am I going to identify a certificate with a barcode? Say, Lauren, I can't read it. Lastly, we are going to election. Some of our political parties are not brailled. Example, Action SA. How are we dealing with this?
Tabo, in Pretoria, thank you. Thank you for your question. And Chabeni?
Yeah, no, I think I'm happy that the listener is raising these concerns, and it is very important that we ensure that the Constitution equally protects these rights. Now, right to information is in the Constitution, in Section 32, and the state is obliged to provide sufficient information required by its citizens. Now, we have to be given a right to claim that right, so that we can get information in the mode and in the manner which we prefer. So if I want my certificate in Braille, the state must be able to provide the certificate in Braille. It is my right to have that information on the certificate, because it is confidential, to be accessed only by myself as the patient, the state. So the listener is quite correct. We must be able to assert our rights and to claim them. That is the bottom line. And when you are in advocacy, you have to have this approach of saying we have to have a group of people that would assist in voicing what is common for us as a group of visually impaired people. So we must stand together always, and we must be able to assert our rights to the state.
Absolutely. And Chabeni, that's where we'll leave it. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much, Sevenzile. So thanks to the listeners.
Thank you, Chabeni Nechituni there, who is the president of Blind SA. It's 25 after 11.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.